tonight, we're going to look topically at the topic of thanks, T-H-A-N-K-S. And what I'd like to do this evening is to take each letter and build an acrostic as we focus tonight, as we have the last few days, on the subject of thanksgiving. We begin tonight with the anchor verse, and that is Psalm chapter 50, verse 14, where God's word says, "Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." So tonight, we're going to take the word thanks, and we're going to build an acrostic and focus on the subject of being thankful. Now, the first letter in thanks, of course, is the letter T, and what is the word tonight? Tychicus. Tychicus. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful for Tychicus. You say, "Mike, are you sneezing or what is your problem?" Well, Tychicus is a very obscure person in God's word, but he is very prominent in the work of God. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says that Tychicus carried the Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossians, the believers in Colossae. Now, you know that Paul did not just entrust this important letter that is in your Bible to just anyone, but rather he trusted it to Tychicus. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21, the Bible also tells us that Tychicus also carried Paul's letter to Ephesus. As a matter of fact, perhaps he was the very first official letter carrier that ever existed. He was a letter carrier. As a matter of fact, also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible reminds us that he was sent by Paul to Ephesus. That's about all that we know about Tychicus. That's it. But why in the world should you and I be thankful for a person with such a name? Well, there are several reasons. First of all, because he had a servant's heart. That's right. That's what I love about Tychicus. He had a servant's heart. His desire was to serve Christ in any way that he could, even if it meant carrying a letter. Now, do you really believe that Tychicus, when he was carrying this letter to the church, to the people at Colossae, or to the people at Ephesus, do you believe that he realized in carrying this letter that someday it would be a book, two books, would be comprised in our Bible? How valuable this person was, how much of a servant's heart he had, and not knowing the significance of this letter, yet having the desire to serve Christ in any way, he was willing to become a letter carrier. What I love about Circle Drive Baptist Church is one of the many things is the fact that so many people serve Christ in so many ways, and they're all important. Whether it's a greeter at a door, or it is a worker in the nursery, or one of my heroes is somebody who picks trash up off the floor. I believe that that is an important task of picking trash up off the floor. Why? Because we want this building to be a building of excellence. This building should be as clean as any building in Sunday morning in El Paso County. So you see, regardless of what a person does, as long as it's done in the name of Jesus Christ, it is very, very important. He has a servant's heart. But there's something else that we can give gratitude or thanks to God about Tychicus. And that is this, that he did not need to be in the limelight. That's right. He didn't have to have his name up on the board. He didn't have to be recognized for the many miles that he walked. He simply served Christ because he loved Christ. And he was willing to do whatever was necessary to carry out God's command. He didn't need to be in the limelight. In other words, there was not pride in his heart. You know, there is that desire or that ambition to be in the limelight. I remember the story of a young man who was a rookie businessman. And he was sitting in his brand new office waiting for his very first client. When he heard the door open, he quickly tried to sound like he was very busy. He picked up the phone as the man entered the office, before he entered the office, and he was pretending to talk on the phone when the man came to the office. He said, "Bill, I'm flying to New York on the Mitchell Brothers thing. It looks like it's going to be a biggie. And we'll need to bring Carl in from Houston on the Cimarron case." And he said, "Oh, by the way, Al Cunningham and Pete Finch want to come in and be partners with me. Bill, you have to excuse me. Somebody just came into my office." He was trying to impress this client. So he put the phone down and he said, "Sir, how may I help you?" And I love this story, this punchline. The man replied, "I'm here to hook up your phone." I love it. Talk about a dose of humility. I mean, he wanted to be the chief muckety-muck, and God gave him a dose of humility. You see, when you and I serve Christ, it's not to be in the limelight, is it? Why else did God select Tychicus for this task? Well, he was dependable. Paul knew that he could depend on this man. This man had proved that he was dependable. So, tonight as we think of the word thanks, we first of all think of T, we think of Tychicus, and the wonderful example that he sets us for servanthood and in service to our Lord. The H in thanks stands for, what do you think? That's good. I've got a little bit more spiritual one than that. Hittites. I am so thankful that heaven is, actually it sounds better than that one, doesn't it? But I am so thankful tonight for the Hittites. They say, "Mike, why in this world are you thankful for the Hittites?" I'm glad you asked. I'll answer. But first of all, the anchor verse is Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words by no means shall pass away." Yeah. Now, why should we be thankful for the Hittites? Well, critics throughout the decades have laughed at the biblical presentation of the people called the Hittites. They have scoffed at the biblical delineation of such an ancient empire. Over 50 times in the Bible, this word Hittites is mentioned. But never has the Hittite civilization been discovered. In the Bible, it says that they were rich, the empire was powerful, was warlike and industrious. But the Bible critics claim that the whole story about the Hittites was a figment of our imagination. In no uncertain terms, they demanded that Christians refute this concept, this idea of the Hittite empire, and that they, Christians, be honest and say, yes, it did not exist. They said that the biblical accounts dealing with the Hittite nation was nothing more than legend. None of their inscriptions had ever been found, they said. The Hittite nation never existed. Aha! Until archaeologists discovered this ancient empire. The uncovering of the Hittite empire, according to one source, and the Hittite civilization, is one of the miracles of modern archaeology. As a result of the labors of a number of scholars on Hittite inscriptions, a people and an empire scarcely less important than the Egyptian or the Assyrian Empire has emerged. As a matter of fact, one prominent magazine has devoted an entire issue to the fabulous capital and conquest of the ancient Hittites. Once again, Bible history has proved to be accurate. But not only with the Hittites, what about Joshua and the wall of Jericho? We hear about Joshua and the walls of Jericho and how they came tumbling down. And the critics say that it's just myth and legend, that it's just a figment of our imagination. But Associated Press came out with this statement. The walls of Jericho did come falling down as recounted in the Bible according to an archaeological study. When we compare the archaeological evidence at Jericho with the biblical narrative describing the Israelite destruction of Jericho, we find remarkable agreement, said archaeologist Bryant G. Wood of the Secular University of Toronto. He said, here is impressive evidence that the walls of Jericho did indeed topple as the Bible records. Mr. Wood noted that collapsed mud bricks were found outside a thick layer retaining wall where they had fallen and apparently served as a ramp for the Israelites, describing as going up into the city. I have a quote from Professor William Albright. Listen to what he says. In 100 years of archaeology, every time the spade is turned the dirt over, it has confirmed the Bible and has never refuted the Bible. So I thank God for the Hittites tonight, because it proves that God's word is true. It proves that God's word is inerrant. It proves that God's word, all the way from Genesis to maps, is inspired. God's word is inspired. Well, let's look at the letter A in thanks. And it's the word always. Now, you think of Walmart, this making this name famous, right? You know, you see all these Walmart trucks going down the road, and it says on the truck, always. And then you walk into the store, and it has the sign, always. Well, the Bible had that word before they had it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, giving thanks how often? Always. You know what that means? It means that we can't complain. Now, that's bad news, isn't it? Because that's part of our nature. I mean, you know, if your sports team loses, what do? You say, oh, I'm so thankful my team, you know, just like me yesterday. Oh, I am so thankful my team just lost in 4 overtimes. I just am so delighted that after playing all of the four, you know, for all of this time, I don't know how much time it was, I'm still in shock over the loss. And then going 4 overtimes, oh, I'm just so thankful that my team lost. Well, to be quite honest with you, I was not very happy at all. It's hard to follow this text, isn't it? It's hard to practice what God says in His Word. Giving thanks always. Why? Because when you complain, you're saying, God, you botched it. When you and I complain, we're saying, God, your plan is really messed up, and I just don't like the way that it's all turned out. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul writes, I thank my God always. I thank my God always. There was an attitude of gratitude in Paul's heart and his life. He was grateful. I like what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. So we see in 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, Paul writes, we give thanks to God always. One person has said this. He said, an attitude of gratitude should be as natural to us as breathing and eating. Giving thanks always means that this attitude of gratitude should be a part of our lifestyles. A, always. Let's go with the letter N in thanks. Let's give thanks to God for numbers. What kind of numbers? Let's thank God, first of all, for the first number coming up on the screen. It is the number 1. Let's thank God that there is one God. There are not many gods, by the way. And there are not different manifestations of one God. And when somebody wants to be tolerant and inclusive and says, well, we all worship the same God, well, that's a really nice, politically correct statement, isn't it? But it certainly isn't biblical. We don't worship the same God. The Hindus, the Muslims, the Taoists, the Shintoists, all of these do not worship the same God. Let me tell you something. I don't worship the same God the Mormons worship. And I do not worship the same God that Jehovah's Witnesses worship. Now, I'm not here to bash them. They're doctrinally incorrect. But what I'm saying is there is only one God, and we worship Him. 1 Corinthians 8, 6, yet for us there is only what? One God. And who is He? He is the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him. The number, I thank God for the number one. I thank God for the number two. The Bible says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time saying, I love the number two. Because God gave Jonah a second chance. Aren't you glad that God gives us a second chance? Aren't you glad that not only, you know, I'm not only glad that God gives us a second chance, he gives us a third and fourth chance. We blow it, he gives us another chance. Let's look at the letter number three. I thank God for numbers. Here's the number three coming up on the screen. It is the third day. Let's look at this verse of scripture here. The Bible says, for I deliver to you two of all that, first of all, that I also what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, what? The third day, according to, I thank God for that word third. Because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead the third day. And let me tell you something, he's not a dead savior. He is alive. He is real. He is alive, ladies and gentlemen. He lives the third day. Well, let's continue with our numbers tonight, because I've got some more numbers that I'm thankful for. Well, I'm thankful tonight for the number five. John 4:18, for you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. So in other words, this woman at the well had five husbands, been married and divorced five times, and now she had to live in. Why do I like the number five? Because it tells me that God loves everybody. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how many times you've blown it. Doesn't matter how you've lived. God loves everyone. Now, he doesn't love the sin, but God loves us unconditionally. And one of the great truths of this text is the fact that God, Jesus Christ, loved this woman unconditionally. He knew all about her life's history. It was very ugly. But Jesus still loved her. He really loved her. Well, let's go to another number, because there are more coming. The number 40, Mark chapter 1, verse 13. And he, Jesus, was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. But then also there is, I hope, another number. And that number is going to be 70 times 70. Matthew 18:22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. All right. So let's say that you come up to me, and you take your foot, you hook my foot, and you pull on it, and you make me fall. Now, that is going to be a real test of my spirituality. Because my gut feeling is to get up and do the same thing to you, or even worse. But from a spiritual perspective, I'm going to pray for you. Pray that God will cause you to fall. No. I pray for your spiritual welfare. So, and after you do that, you make me fall. You look down at me, you say, oh, I'm sorry, Mike, I didn't mean to do that. And then 2 days later, here we are again. You see me, you come up to me, you hook my foot. I go down. You say, oh, Mike, I'm so sorry. I should not have. It's just so much fun. I just love to see you fall. I know I shouldn't do that, but I just love to see you fall. But I feel very badly about doing it. Would you forgive me? And hopefully I'm spiritual enough, I will. But what happens when it happens the third time? What would have happened to you? What if somebody did something to you on a regular basis? They said they were sorry, and then you did it again. Wouldn't about after the third, fourth, and fifth time it would get old, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you just get tired of it? And what would you think about that person's sincerity in asking for forgiveness? But don't we do the same thing with God? We sin against God, and then we ask for forgiveness, and then 2 weeks later, we sin against God, and then we come back and we ask for forgiveness, and then 6 months later, we commit the same sin against God, and we ask God, aren't you glad for 70 times 7? Aren't you glad that God forgives us? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but I thank God for 70 times 7. Let's look at the letter K. I thank God for kinks. Now, you say, Mike, well, you know, it's one of those little knots, you know, you get a kink in a utility cord, or you get a kink in a rope, and that kink is a nuisance and it's a hindrance. Thank God for the kinks of life. I like what William Secker once said about Joseph. He said this. He said, if Joseph had not been Egypt's prisoner, he would never have been Egypt's governor. The iron chains around his feet ushered in the golden chains around his neck. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then Romans 8:28. How many of you know that by memory, by the way? Romans 8:28, you know it by memory. All right, let's say it together. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You know, Romans 8:28 is illustrated in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Philippians 1:12 is an excellent illustration of Romans 8:28. Why? Well, because of Paul's imprisonment, number one, his captors were evangelized. Number two, his colleagues were emboldened. Number three, his critics were exposed. And number four, his Christ was exalted. All things work together for good to those who love God. Now, that is something that you and I can be thankful for. That God takes these kinks that happen in our lives and He turns around and works them for the good. Now, sometimes we wonder why something happens. Something very devastating. Something very, very difficult. But in the midst of that devastating experience or that difficult circumstance, God is at work. God is shaping and molding us or desiring to do so. Do you understand that we should thank God not specifically for people dying or accidents happening, but we should thank God that in the midst of all of that, God is at work. I know that in my years, I've learned a lot of things by the dumb things that I've done. Dumb decisions that I've made or mistakes that I've made. And God took those even though they were painful, God did a work in my heart. And you see, that's what God does. God takes all of these things that happen in our lives and all the pain and all the difficulties and all the hardships, and God wants to shape and mold our character into the very image of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. Romans 8:28. I thank God for kings. And then the S, I've got to get a little bit spiritual here in one of these at least, and the S stands for salvation. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I don't know about you, but this is at the top of my list. I am so thankful for my salvation. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I don't even want to think where I would be tonight without Jesus. I don't even want to think of what my life would have been like. I have never, ever sat down and thought, well, I wonder what my life would have been like if I had not become a Christian. I don't even want to go there. I don't want to even go down that road. I'm just grateful that when I was 18 years old, that God, who is in heaven, touched my heart through Jesus Christ by means of the Spirit of God and literally changed my life. And I don't know about you, but I am thankful for my salvation. I am so thankful that when I lay my head on my pillow at night, I don't have to worry. Because I know if I get up the next morning, I've got another day to serve Christ. But if I breathe my last breath that night on that pillow, my first breath I'll breathe in heaven. It's a win-win situation. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So, we can be thankful, and we should be thankful for our salvation. All right, let's take a vote. How many of you are thankful for your salvation? Hold up your hand. All right, I see a lot of hands here. Which one of you will stand up right now and share your personal testimony? Hold up your hand. I'm not kidding. I'm ready. I'm throwing it out right now. Stephanie, would you stand up and share your personal testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for you? One more person. Donnie, can I see your hand? Stand up, brother. You're right here in the front. Just stand around and share your personal testimony.
When I was 17, I was like a lot of young people. I was going down the wrong path, drinking and doing all the things a lot of young people get into. Went to a revival in my church that some of the other young people that I grew up with invited me to. God touched my life, made me aware that I needed Jesus Christ. I accepted Christ in my life. It's changed. It's never been like that. And I'm so very thankful that God had turned me around, put me on the path of serving Him, and knowing Jesus Christ.
You see, thanking God for our salvation. One more person. One more person. Tell me. Stand up, brother, and speak loud so we can hear you.
Well, I was doing the same kind of stuff that Donnie was doing. I was a Catholic, and I was going on my way to being a devout drunkard. And I did meet a young lady who was one of the born again Christians, you know? And drug in church. And, the Lord changed my life. Changed it in a great way. And I thank Him for it.
Isn't that wonderful? You know, I think that tonight of Werner von Braun. And, of course, I grew up, I loved astronomy and wanted to be an astronaut and loved rocketry and all that stuff. And for those of you who do not know who he was a German engineer. He played a prominent role in all aspects of rocketing and space exploration in Germany before World War II, and then in the U.S. after the war. He is known as the father of modern rocketry. Now, he was a genius. He's not living anymore here on planet Earth, but he was a genius. He was Brit. He's the father of modern rocketry in America. As a matter of fact, in the world. Well, in the midst of all of his worldwide acclaim, he was painfully aware of an aching spiritual void inside of his life. Let me share with you his words. He said, "The truth of Christ emerged like a revelation in my heart. I realized that I was not a Christian." He said, "Jesus Christ just changed my life and I became a brand new person." And he said that I know that God only by his self-revelation in the person of Jesus Christ as witnessed by the scripture was my means of salvation. One of the most brilliant men who ever walked on this planet became a Christian. You know why? Because it makes so much sense. If any man be in Christ, he's what? A brand new creation. Old life has passed away. And behold, all things have become new. So tonight, we can thank God for our salvation. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "I am come," what? "That you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." I shared with you this morning that Ernest Hemingway had everything. He had fame. He had fortune. He was just famous, and he was wealthy, but he wasn't happy, and he ended up taking his own life. And not only him, but also his brother and his father, and also his granddaughter, Margot. You see, satisfaction is not found in this world. It's found in Jesus. He changes your life. He doesn't give you religion. He gives you a brand new relationship with God that this transforms your life and makes you a brand new person. I don't know. I am a brand new person. If you wouldn't want to have known me before my salvation experience, I was just a smart aleck with a chip on my shoulder and sarcastic with the best of them. I mean to tell you, you would have hated my attitude. But Jesus Christ changed my life. And now I'm a new person, and I thank Him. I thank Him, and not only do I thank Him tonight, I will thank Him for the rest of eternity for the salvation that I have in Jesus Christ. The question tonight is, do you have that salvation? Do you have eternal life? Do you have Jesus? Have you? And I'm not asking if you have a religion. I'm not asking you if you went to church and grew up in the church and went forward and join the church. I'm not asking that. I'm not asking if you do good religious deeds. I'm not asking if you're a good moral person. I'm asking tonight, have you ever been saved? Has Jesus Christ ever changed your life? If not, tonight he can do it. And if you'll let him change your life, you'll be able to say the same thing that I have said this morning, this evening, in this platform. Thank God for salvation in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.